has a ministry that is hugely significant and important in the modern era. And it's with special joy and honor this morning that we welcome you, Richard. God bless you as you minister to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor. Wow, I'm very honored myself to be here. You seem to be having so much fun and so many parties and weddings and celebrations. So I think you're having a great time here. And I'm very blessed and privileged to be here. And if some of my family and friends saw me, they'd say, well, what's a nice Jewish boy like you doing in a place like East Hill Baptist Church? And the reason is that I hope I'm here for the same reason that you're here, because I've seen something so wonderful in Jesus that I want to get to know him better and his people better and tell other people about him. And my family might say, well, you're Jewish and you believe in Jesus. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? And what do your parents think? And the answer is, I'm ashamed of my sin, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the good news. It's the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first, and also to everyone else. So I'm here because my friends Simon and Michael told me about Jesus many years ago. My father grew up in South Africa and farmed in then what was previously Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And a nice Jewish boy came to England with my family. I'll tell you a bit more about this. But I'm really here to help you celebrate not only Christmas, but Hanukkah. Let's say that word together. Hanukkah with a chet sound. So try it again. Hanukkah. And mind your neighbor's neck in front of you. So I'm going to speak for about 30 minutes on Christmas and Hanukkah, and if you'd like to do some homework, I'm a Bible college teacher, you can send me your email and I'll send you the PowerPoint slides, and I'll happily give you some more things to think about. So if you're with me so far and you're getting my accent, I should explain my appearance as well. I don't look quite normal in this part of the world, but in Jerusalem I fit in very easily. So, and I'm quite often in Jerusalem with very strict Orthodox Jews, where it's normal and even modest not to shave. My wife still loves me and she's putting up with me. We've only been married 31 years, though, so I don't know what happens when I get to as long as you've been married. And I'm in Jerusalem a lot. I'll talk a bit more about that, where they think I'm part of the family. People come up and say, oh, Richard, haven't seen you for a while. Whereas here I'm just a bit, well, I've always been a bit odd, but there you are. That's it to explain it. So when you're Jewish and you believe in Jesus, you get the best of both worlds and you get double the headaches. You get Saturdays off and Sundays. You get Christmas presents at Christmas and you get 8 days of Hanukkah presents at Hanukkah. And this year we're now in the Feast of Hanukkah. And of course, this was the celebration that Jesus had. Jesus did not go to church on Sundays. Did you know that? He went to synagogue on Saturdays. And Jesus was not a Christian. He was Jewish. Now, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, we call ourselves Christians, little Christs, if you like, or followers of the Messiah. But Jesus was brought up to celebrate Hanukkah at this time of year. So if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to read from the Gospel of John. And I think in the church Bibles, you'll find it on page 100 of the New Testament section. That's the section towards the end. Page 100 of the New Testament section. And we'll read a few verses from John's Gospel where we see Jesus actually celebrating this festival. And I'm going to jump through my slides on this version because we can follow it in the other version. But let's read, should we read it together from John chapter 10, verse 22 to verse 30. So read it with me if you have it in front of you. Page 100, John 10, verse 22. At that time, The festival, are you with me so far? Yeah? Read it out with me and then I'll know that I'm not the only one reading it. Yeah. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." What an amazing thing to say. God in human form, the baby born in Bethlehem, is one with God in heaven, the Father Almighty, through God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're Jewish or if you're anyone else, you might say, well, what does this mean and how can it be? And so it's very important that we understand that Jesus gave this special teaching about his relationship with the Father in heaven at this very festival, which in our version in verse 22 is said the Feast of Dedication. Well, the word Hanak, we've practiced our Hebrew already, let's say it again. We all want to speak the language when we get to heaven, don't we? Hanak. It means to dedicate. And what is dedicating means? It means giving of ourselves, putting ourselves in God's control and in God's hands. And in the Greek, because John's gospel is written in Greek, it's called enkyneia. Let's say that together. You can tell I'm a boring teacher. I get people to repeat. Kynos means new. Enkyneia means brand new, making it new. I'm sure we're all going to give a few Christmas presents and get maybe a new mobile phone or a new game player or a new something, a new sweater. Maybe you've got enough sweaters already. But making something new that has already got old and tired is even more important than getting something brand new, especially when you've got not a lot of money or you need to rededicate the temple, for example. Are you with me so far? Because I'm a bit pyrotechnically challenged. Let's see if this works. I've got 9 points in my sermon. I don't know how many points you have in your sermons, Pastor. But just so you know how we're doing, we're going to light the first candle, and then we're going to make our first of 8 points about Hanukkah. And I've tried to carry out a health and safety check on the church fabric and the risk assessment, so I hope I don't set fire to anything. Are you with me so far? So Hanukkah is the Feast of Dedication. In the Jewish calendar, it's on the 25th of Kislev, which is the month that corresponds to December in the Christian calendar. But we Jewish people, we have every 19 years, we have 7 leap years. It's a bit complicated. And we have a lunar calendar, so I won't bore you with how we calculate the day. But today is actually the 5th day of Hanukkah. So if you want to give me a Hanukkah present afterwards, you can do it today. And I'll be giving my grandchildren Hanukkah presents later. And we have 8 days of presents, so even more excuse for a party. The Jewish alternative to Christmas, but in fact you get the best of both worlds when you're Jewish and believe in Jesus. It tells the story of one of the bad guys of history called Antiochus Epiphanes. Let's say that together. Antiochus Epiphanes. Forgive me being a boring teacher.
And Antiochus Epiphanes, Epiphanes, like fantastic. He thought he was a manifestation of God. But in fact, he was a very bad man. He was a Hellenizer. He wanted the Jewish people to give up worshipping the God of Israel and worship the gods of Greece and Rome. And so he was king of Syria, really a descendant of the empire of Alexander the Great. And about 164 years before Jesus was born, he took over Jerusalem and the land of Israel, and they were under occupation, and he wanted the Jews to abandon their God and to stop practicing the Jewish law, especially to stop studying the Torah, the Bible, and circumcising their sons and eating food that was kosher, so no pork, no shellfish, no mixing of milk and meat. And if you look at the prophecies in the book of Daniel, it talks about the abomination of desolation. Have you ever studied that passage? Difficult passage. And so he is there telling the Jewish people they can no longer worship their God, and he even commands a pig to be sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem and on the altar to Zeus, the god of the Greeks and the Romans. So not very kosher and not very nice. And even today, pigs are not kosher. This is actually a pig on the wall. Can you see the slides okay? On the wall of the church in Wittenberg in Germany where Martin Luther preached. And it's still there today. And it was put up to abuse and offend the Jewish people. And I don't like it, so I put a book together, which is on the back there, Luther and the Jews Putting Right the Lies, because I want Christians to have good news for Jewish people today. If you're interested, do have a look at that after the service. And so there was a rebellion. And against this evil Antiochus Epiphanes, Judah the Maccabee and his brothers, seven sons, the sons of Mattathias, one of the priests, managed amazingly to resist this powerful evil emperor. And they recaptured the temple in Jerusalem. And Judah the Maccabee, there was even an oratorio by Handel. Have you ever heard of that? Judas Maccabeus. Judah Maccabee means a hammer. Maccabee is a hammer. I don't know if you've got any West Ham supporters in these parts. Probably not. I won't get into trouble on football. But they were hammering the men of Antiochus Epiphanes, and they even managed to recapture the temple, despite the fact they're a very small number. It doesn't matter how large a number we are. With God on our side, you're always the winner. Even in the X Factor competition you got this evening. If God's on your side, hallelujah. But what is very important for Jewish people is that when they got to the temple, they found that the temple wasn't really ready for worship. I'm getting through my points all right. I haven't set fire to the place. Are you still with me, by the way? Yeah. So the temple, that's my fourth point. It's all coming up. By the way, aren't the candles nice? I see you've got tinsel on the microphones here, and they're nice too. So the candles are really to enjoy the light of God's presence. And the great miracle that Jewish people celebrate at this time of Hanukkah is that they were able to give the temple back to the worship of God. If you like, a revival, a renewal. Now, you can't revive what was never alive. But the people were under the oppression of Antiochus Epiphanes, and they weren't really able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when the Maccabees got there, they had no time to consecrate the oil, the olive oil, for the special light that burnt in the Holy of Holies called the Ner Tamid. Let's say that together. Ner Tamid. Ner is the word light. Menorah is a lampstand. That's holding the lights. There was a light that would burn the whole time in the temple, reminding Israel of the faithfulness of God. And yet when they got there, there wasn't enough oil. There was only one day's worth of oil, according to Jewish tradition. And this is in the book of the Maccabees, if you've ever read that. It's in between the Old and the New Testament in some difficult books called the Apocrypha. And the Maccabees tell the story of how they got to the temple and there wasn't enough oil. So what happened? The answer is a great miracle, according to Jewish tradition, happened there, that one day's worth of oil lasted a full 8 days. It's a bit like a winter fuel allowance that you suddenly get if you're old enough. Yeah, and you suddenly get a bit more extra to pay for your heating and your lighting. But for these people, this was a special way of showing that God was with them, even in the darkest of days, even when their enemies were oppressing them, even when they didn't know how to really worship God properly. They'd almost forgotten how. They were able to keep going. And so we have a party. Any excuse for a party. Let's light our fifth candle. It was interesting looking after the kids and guarding the flowers, because then I thought this is going to fall over, and it often does, but let's hope it stays over there. Any excuse for a party. So what you have to do is light the Hanukkah menorah. We got lots of songs and dances and things like that. We then have these amazing things called latkes. Has anybody eaten them? They're potato pancakes, a bit like rosti if you've had that, or other things. And they're fried in oil. And we eat lots of products fried in oil. So you're all going to have to eat, unless you're gluten-free or you've had too much to eat already, a donut. I brought along my special festive donuts. Very good. So there's about 60 at the back, 80 at the back, isn't there, behind you there? So please have a donut to celebrate Hanukkah with me at the end of the service. And one of the great miracles, according to tradition, is that the Jewish people eat so much cholesterol at Hanukkah, but we've still survived 3,000 years. So you can share in another miracle with me. So we have this Hanukkah menorah. We eat potato pancakes. We have a thing called a dreidel. This is a dreidel. It's probably not level here, so I won't start spinning it. The tradition is that Antiochus Epiphanes would not let us study the Bible, the Torah. So we pretended to be gambling. That's a good excuse, isn't it? So you say to your son or your daughter, "You studying your Bible today, Johnny?" They say, "Well, I'm gambling." No, it's not quite right. Online gambling's not very good for you. But this is gambling with chocolate money. So nobody's going to get very rich. Nobody's going to lose anything. But we've got a very complicated game. I won't explain all the rules. But basically, you spin the top and bet on which one it's going to land on. The Hebrew letters, Nesh Gadol Hayash Sham, a great miracle happened there. And if you win, you get some chocolate money. Nice for the kids, isn't it? So we know how to have parties as well, you see. Maybe one day you'll have a Hanukkah party as well. And it's a good opportunity to talk and play and sing and celebrate what God is doing. So Jewish festivals, they're all basically the same. Our enemies tried to kill us. God saved us. Let's eat. That's what Passover is, isn't it? Our enemy, Pharaoh, enslaved us in Egypt. And God set us free by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He sent the 10 plagues. He sent Moses to bring us out. So we have this wonderful meal, Passover. It occurs at the same time as Easter, if you'd like to have a Passover meal. It's another good excuse for a party. Let's eat and celebrate. And of course, Jesus saves us from sin by dying on the cross. And how do we celebrate that? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, Jesus says. We take communion. Now, I have to say, I don't find communion a full meal, but it's the symbol. And if you have it in a Passover meal, it's a whole meal anyway. So, are you still with me? I love Hanukkah. It's a great time for a party, and it's a great time to preach the good news. Because the real message of Hanukkah comes through that it's God's light. You remember in the very beginning of creation, God says, let there be light. Yehi Or. Very simple. Let there be light. And the light suddenly is created in the midst of the darkness of cosmos, of creation. And God's light then leads to everything else. You know, we need to have God's light in our lives. I love that greeting we went and greeted with each other just earlier on. The light of God be with you. If God's light is shining in your heart, nothing can put it out. You may have problems. You may have difficulties. There may be obstacles in your path. But if God has shone the light of his love into your life and mine, there's nothing that can overpower that. Because the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not put it out. So there was a pillar of fire in the wilderness, reminding the Israelites of God's glory and holiness and guidance and power. And that light is the light of God's presence that he wants to shine into you and me as well. So my seventh point, each of us needs to know God personally. We need to say, yes, God has switched on the light in my heart. And he's given light to my mind. And he's giving light to my feet to show me the direction I should go in. And he's giving light to my inner understanding. In fact, I'm being changed and renewed. If we love Jesus and we want to be with Jesus and we want to become like Jesus, that's what a disciple is. Now, the good news is you don't even have to be Jewish to believe in Jesus. Did you know that? Anyone can. Even the British. Oi, oi, oi. Well, one day we'll all be drinking cups of tea in heaven, won't we? And God will be up there in all his praise and glory and everyone will be worshipping. Hallelujah. And the British will be saying, not bad. Jolly good show. Please forgive me, I'm Jewish and I'm British. I always have a problem with this. I was brought up in a Jewish home where we went to synagogue, South London, Kingston, you know, it's a bit further around. And I didn't know there was a God, even though I went to synagogue. So I was quite religious, just like many people go to church, but they don't know God personally. And by the time of my bar mitzvah, my parents said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I don't believe in God. So why should I go for a service I don't believe in? And they said, okay, Richard, you must do what you think is right. And I began searching. And this was in the 60s, back in the old days, the 1960s. And sex and drugs and rock and roll and everything like that. Although I wasn't that bored. I wasn't a naughty boy or anything, but I was searching. And I had two friends at school. Do you know that annoying type, the Bible believers? The ones that go out on the streets and tell people about Jesus. I'm so glad you're doing that. I used to go to Speaker's Corner every week for about 20 years. Largest lunatic asylum in the world, but a great place to share your faith. My two friends, Simon and Michael, they had a difference in their lives. And I thought, well, you know, I'm Jewish, and Jewish people, we love to argue, because where you have two Jews, you have three opinions. So I said, well, I'm going to prove them wrong. But the more I tried to prove them wrong, the more I saw that they were probably right, especially when it came to the evidence for Jesus. And they said to me, well, what do you think happened, Richard, when Jesus died on the cross? And why were the disciples so excited and transformed that first Easter week? Now, I like to think of myself as a cold-minded, rational, you know, clear-thinking sort of bloke. But I had what I could only describe now as a vision. They asked me, what do you think happened when Jesus died on the cross? And I saw an empty tomb. And it was like looking back 2,000 years in history. And I realized that Jesus had risen from the dead. I thought, wow. And then I thought, well, perhaps you're right, I said to them, perhaps you're right, but I'm Jewish, we're not supposed to believe that. Because I realized that if it was true, I'd have to do something about it. And some of my friends have been thrown out of their homes for becoming believers in Jesus. But you know, God wouldn't give up on me, and I had to shortly afterwards get down on my knees and ask God to forgive me my sin. And I asked Jesus to come into my life as the one who died on the cross for my sin. And I began to follow him. Well, that was about 40 years ago. If you're interested, my story and my wife's story are in the book, But I'm Jewish. But I realized that each one of us has to come to a personal faith. We have to know that God shines the light of his love into our hearts. And Jesus, in this amazing passage in John chapter 10, he's at the Feast of Hanukkah. The disciples and the Jewish people of his day are waiting for somebody to come along and deliver them from the Romans, just like Judah the Maccabee delivered them from the Syrians, from Antiochus Epiphanes. And so he turns up at this festival, which is a very political festival. It's saying God is able to overpower every human power and destiny. And they say, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. In other words, set up your rebellion now. And what does Jesus say? He says it's not by might or by power or by politics or by Brexit or anything like that, thank goodness. It's about the power of God coming into your heart. It's about seeing that Jesus truly is God. I and the Father are one. Lord, we need to know, not just intellectually, but spiritually and in our hearts, that you truly are the Savior of all nations and the Messiah of Israel. We have good news here, don't we have good news? The bad news, there's enough bad news. The good news is that God loves us. The good news of Christmas is that God came to save us. The good news is that this little baby born in the manger that we had this lovely nativity about is so simple, even the youngest children can understand it. My little grandchild, 4 years old, did her first nativity play. But it's so powerful and complex and profound that it will take you a lifetime to work out the implications. What does it mean for me today to put Jesus first in my life? How can I be a better disciple? How can God shine through me? Because the nations, the cars, the buses are waiting to hear this good news. What is mission? It's our committed participation as God's people, at God's invitation and command, in God's own mission. Because Jesus came, he sends you and me. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to be willing to go because he calls us to follow him. God's own mission within the history of God's world for the redemption of God's creation. I put that in because I saw you teach on this in your Bible school. But I'm going to come to my final point here, and I don't want to take more than my time. How can we find this light in our lives? It's so simple. We just come to Jesus. In him was life, and the light was the light of humanity. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not put it out, did not overwhelm it. I'd like you not only to be aware of this in your own lives, but to help me share this with my people Israel. Because we've been waiting for 2,000 years to meet Christians who love us and tell us about Jesus. Does anybody here have any Jewish friends? Yeah, wonderful. Does anybody not have any Jewish friends? Because the best Jewish friend anyone can have is Jesus. Forgive my humor, it's very poor. So if you don't know Jesus, and if he's not your Jewish friend, your best Jewish friend, you better make friends with him quickly, because I'm not such a nice chap. Jesus wants to be everyone's best Jewish friend. And by the way, Christians can learn so much about Jesus by understanding, you know, he did this at a Jewish festival, by the way, didn't he? Where they were having fun. And yet most Christians just say, oh, doesn't mean very much. It means an awful lot. So to get to know Jesus better, to know him as your best Jewish friend, and then to help other Jewish people meet him, is really what we're here for. And you can pray that message that I love in your motto, is it? That was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. Will you be praying for my people Israel? Because the final candle is the servant candle, the shamash. Let's say that word together. Shamash. It's the humble candle. It burns out quicker than the others. It burns lower. It's used to give light to all the others. The servant is the one who serves. And Jesus is the suffering servant. He's not only the Lord of all humanity, he is the suffering servant. And yet my people are still waiting to know that. We need to receive him in our own hearts, to be renewed, rededicated, honokered, if you like, in our own faith, and then rededicate our life to his service. Now, if you'd like to pray for some of the work that I'm involved in, I'd love to send you this PowerPoint with a bit of extra slides, but I just want to bring a conclusion. Oh, you'll have to go and play it again from the start. And I just want to last one. That's it. Great. And thank you so much. Pray for us. As you came in, you would have got one of these leaflets. Would you like to just take it out for a moment? And we'll do a sacred Hanukkah Jews for Jesus tradition. It's called the tearing of the card. Wave it around with me. Let's have a wave offering. If you didn't get one, we have a few spare. Wonderful. You're all waving. I feel welcome. You're not West Ham supporters, are you? No. And then at the count of three, we'll tear the card along the dotted line where the name and address part go. So the Hebrew for one is Echad. Echad. Two is Shetayim. Shetayim. And three is Shalosh. Shalosh. Let's tear together at the count of three in Hebrew. Are you ready? Oh, hang on. I'm just running a little over, Pastor. Is that all right? Yeah, good. So this is the tearing of the Hanukkah card. And then if you're really brave, don't put it in the fire. Ready for three? Echad, shtayim, shalosh. Well done. Now, unless you're especially creative, you should just have two pieces of card. This one tells you about our mission, Jews for Jesus, and this one is for you to fill in if you'd like to receive our prayer updates, our newsletter, if you'd like a copy of the PowerPoint slides to do some homework, give me your name and address and your email and give it back to me at the bookstall. The conclusion I have is this, that the best Jewish friend anyone can have is Jesus. And we need to pray for Jewish people to have Christian friends like you. And if you'd like to find out how to witness to Jewish people or make friends with Jewish people, do come and chat to me later. Pray also for good news in the Middle East, justice, peace, and reconciliation. And I won't get into politics, it's too complicated, be here too long. But basically, my job at the moment is witnessing to ultra-Orthodox Jews like this friend here, who's a secret believer in Jesus. He's got 8 children and 50 grandchildren. He's an Orthodox rabbi in Jerusalem. He's been a believer for 30 odd years, but he still keeps it very quiet that he's a believer. So pray for people like that, and I'll be in Jerusalem with many of our Jews for Jesus staff next year for a whole month working amongst this community. And so we need your support and prayer and witness, and that would be much appreciated. So God bless you. Thank you so much for giving me your time and your interest. I'd like to pray a blessing for you, if I may, from the book of Numbers, chapter 26,
And it's the blessing that Moses gave to Aaron and the priests to bless the whole house of Israel. Let's stand and just bow our heads. So first in Hebrew and then in English, the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'hunecha. May God shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May God lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that the light of the world will truly shine in your hearts, your minds, your souls and bodies, and bless you with the blessing of the Prince of Peace, baby Jesus, born in a manger, to be Lord and Saviour of Israel and all nations. May God bless you. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Wow, wasn't that beautiful? Please, we're going to close with our closing hymn right now, but as we do, let us pray for Jews for Jesus together. Father, we pray for Jews for Jesus. We pray for Richard Harvey, this precious servant. Thank you for the amazing message this morning. May the light of the Lord shine in us. And may this light shine with Richard as he travels to Jerusalem and around the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.